Today's guest is Andrew Warburton, the founder and CEO of Peak Beverage Company, a craft soda brand bringing natural, real fruit flavors inspired by British Columbia. He is a BC Business 30 Under 30 winner and graduate of the League of Innovators Labs. Andrew is here to share his story of building a bold, all-natural beverage brand. Hey, Andrew, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks, Jasmine.
You started your entrepreneurial journey quite young. Can you take us back to the beginning and tell me a little bit about what inspired you to pursue this path?
Yeah, so I've always kind of been in the entrepreneurial spirit. When I was young, I was doing lemonade stands. I remember when I was probably 3 or 4, I set up a seashell stand in Hornby Island at a campsite. And so I've always been into selling, always been into meeting people. And growing up in Prince George, I got bored pretty easy. So I found a lot of the stuff I ended up doing were going to trade shows with my dad or just kind of experiencing that business side of the world.
Yeah, that was like myself as well. I was always thinking of any business idea, like lemonade stands and all the things. Did you have any other experiences that kind of shaped your entrepreneurial path really early on?
When I was 15, I started a photography company. Again, I think I more just wanted to attend cool events and I saw photography as a good way to get in there. So I kind of pursued that for a little bit, really informally. But I got to shoot people like Nelly Furtado, Walk Off the Earth, and got to get some really cool events like that. And so that was kind of, I think, where I really started pinpointing my entrepreneurial journey.
Amazing. That must have been so cool at a young age. And what is one thing that you wish you'd known when you did first start Peak?
One thing I wish I'd known was that speed isn't everything. I think sometimes the best thing you can do is slow down, ask questions, and grow more intentionally. I know a lot of times young entrepreneurs, it's the drive and the excitement of having a new venture that just kind of gets you going and you end up spearheading towards something. And I'm guilty of that when I first started Peak as well. It was a lot of just kind of running and hitting the ground running, I guess. But yeah, if you can slow down, ask questions, connect with people in your industry and people that are adjacent to your industry that know how to help you, I think that's some of the best things you can do when starting out.
Yeah, definitely. Give me a rundown on Peak and then tell me what inspired the brand.
Yeah, so Peak, we're an all-natural premium fruit soda company based in the Okanagan. We make a HazCap lemonade and apple rhubarb, just carbonated water, fruit juice, a little bit of cane sugar, no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives. So I graduated in Prince George in 2020, and I moved down to the Okanagan. And moving down here, everyone's talking about the wineries, the cideries, and distilleries that are all using BC fruit. But I was 18, I wasn't able to drink, but I was kind of feeling left out because everyone's saying how great the quality of the produce is around here. And so I kind of started looking for a premium option that matched that same quality and same commitment that all the local wineries and cideries were doing. And I couldn't really find anything that I liked. So that's kind of where Peak became. I originally was gonna do it as like, it was gonna be your typical colas and root beers. But as I started developing flavors, I found all the flavors I really loved were fruit-based, and that just naturally made sense with living in the Okanagan. So that's kind of where we are today.
I love that. And you had such good timing as well, because I mean, you mentioned that you were inspired to get into that space because you were under 19. But I also feel like there's such a big boom in the non-alc space for everyone right now. So everyone's looking for those alternative drinks to sip on at parties when they're not drinking alcohol. Have you seen that be quite relevant in your experience in terms of positioning Peak?
Absolutely. Like you said yourself, yeah, lots of people right now are trying to either drink less alcohol or cut out alcohol completely, as well as people are looking to get rid of the artificial stuff and all the bad ingredients that alcohol drinks usually have in them. So yeah, I've definitely seen a big uptake in support from that area of people either looking for something with no alcohol or something healthier to mix with their premium spirits.
Can you walk us through the early days from idea to getting it onto shelves from the lens of someone who might be wanting to start a food or beverage brand?
Yeah, absolutely. First thing I would say is do your research, learn your industry. I was guilty of that. Again, I kind of jumped into it being like, I like this product, I want to do this, but didn't really understand all that came with it. And so when I first started, I actually built a little commercial kitchen. So I transformed my parents' one-car garage into a commercial kitchen. I invested all this money in equipment. I built a pasteurizer from diagrams I found online.
Wow.
And if I was to do that again, I'd definitely look for a co-manufacturer right away. It just saves you all the hassle. On the bright side, I learned lots from it. It was a great experience to figure out how the science behind beverage creation goes, but I definitely could have saved myself a lot of time and a lot of headache if I would have went to a co-manufacturer. Another big challenge is shelf stability. So keeping it all natural, you're avoiding your chemical preservatives. And so with that, I had to find either you can either go refrigerated, or another way is pasteurization. And talking to retailers, refrigerator space is very expensive, and transportation being refrigerated is also really, really expensive. And so I had to build a pasteurizer, which I knew nothing about. I just knew what I saw online. And so having to do that was definitely a challenge. That was a big bottleneck in starting it.
Yeah, I mean, despite being challenging, at least it gave you a great storytelling component of the brand. So that's a win, at least. Tell me about some other big wins early on.
Yeah, so I think our biggest win was getting into our first retailer. So that was kind of a surreal moment. I spent 2 years basically developing this in a little garage, trying to figure it out. And then to see it on the shelf was absolutely just like, it's hard to believe. Sometimes you forget that all the work you put into that brand. And then when you can see people buying it, it was kind of a surreal moment.
And tell me about landing a retailer. Any advice for people looking to get on shelves?
Yeah, so in the beverage industry, it's really competitive right now. Obviously, everyone's coming out with new drinks right now, especially in the non-alc range. I would say get a distributor early on. Again, that's something I didn't do. It can cost a lot. The margins of distributors are pretty high. But if you can work that into your pricing, they're definitely a great resource to get into those stores, as well as just connections. So if you have friends that have parents that own stores, talk to them. Most people who are in that industry know other people in that industry. And so I find connections are super helpful for getting into those small to medium retailer chains.
Yeah, I feel like in the early stages of any business, honestly, it's all about personal network in the beginning to get your foot in the door anywhere you can. And you mentioned a couple of early challenges. Was there anything else that came up that was a big learning lesson for you?
So yeah, I would say the two key challenges that I was facing was shelf stability as well as distribution. So shipping cans are pretty heavy. I think a case is about 20 pounds. And so anyone that's shipping with UPS and FedEx knows how much shipping costs are. And so that was a big challenge, trying to figure out how you can get from point A to point B, as well as the shelf stability challenge, which was trying to figure out, how do I pasteurize? What do I need to pasteurize it to? Because obviously you don't want to put something on a shelf that could have the chance of going bad. And so it was quite challenging to figure that out, but luckily with the internet such a helpful thing, I was able to figure that out. And as far as like back to supply, like logistics, for the first 2 years, I was distributing just in the Okanagan, myself and my SUV. And then I switched to shipping with UPS and FedEx, which not ideal, but it was necessary at the time. And luckily they were pretty good. I only had a few damaged products come back. Definitely, yeah, if you can get a distributor in the early stages, they'll do you magic.
And then I was also interested to see that you're in the League of Innovators Labs Accelerator. So I'm curious what caused you to pursue an accelerator program and how that experience has been.
Yeah, so LOI has been honestly the best thing I've ever signed up for. I signed up for one day. I was feeling pretty lonely in the entrepreneurial world. Being in Summerland, it's a pretty small community. And although I have great friends, a lot of them don't understand the ups and downs of business. And it's sometimes hard to make connections. So I was basically just kind of looking for people that understood the industry, and people that were also startup founders. And LOI has been so great for that. They bring in amazing guest speakers. Like we had Brian Scudamore from Dragon's Den in the other day. We had the founder of Saks Underwear on yesterday. And so the connections you make from that are so invaluable, as well as the educational aspect. It's some of the best education I've gotten without going to business school. And so yeah, LOI for life, they're such a valuable resource for anybody looking there, and it's free.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that community component as a founder, but especially a young founder, is so key and can be hard to find. I just feel like fostering that community and having people to bounce ideas off of, talk about the lows and the highs is so important, because when you're navigating it, especially as a solo founder, I can't even imagine. I feel so lucky to have a co-founder to have that camaraderie with, but I think that fostering that community as a solo founder is so important. Do you find that it's hard to find a founders community in the Okanagan?
As far as young founders, I feel like it's harder, especially in my area. Kelowna, okay, There's definitely a lot more going on, but that being an hour and a bit away from me, it's hard for me to get out there as much as I'd like to. One thing I also loved about LOI was it's not just they market themselves as a founder accelerator. So they're there to grow you as a founder, not so much your company. Obviously your company is a big part of it. And so that they really help you grow in that and help you connect to people in your area. So I've made some great connections in the Okanagan and in BC through them. And with that being a pretty lonely area for young entrepreneurs, I feel, it was super helpful for that.
Amazing. And has the experience shaped the way that you think about building and scaling Peak at all?
Absolutely. I think LOI has been one of the biggest factors in that, actually. It pushed me to think bigger, not just about making a product, but building a brand. They're constantly pushing you to share your story, which is sometimes scary for being a young founder. It's scary to put yourself out there, scary to associate your face with the brand. And so, yeah, it's been huge in helping me kind of see the bigger picture of business and see what's more to it than just a product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the personal brand component is so big right now. It's something that we're really pushing to all the founders that we work with. Is that something that you've been focusing on as well?
Yeah, I'm kind of guilty for that. I've not been very good at it until recently. I think it was more just, it's a confidence thing, as well as it takes a lot of effort to build a brand and even more effort to build your personal brand. And so yeah, to answer your question, I'm getting better at it, but no, for the first while, I was kind of hiding in the shadows.
I completely understand that. I feel like when you're so in the thick of the day-to-day of what you need to get done too, it can be hard to be like, okay, let me pull out my iPhone and take some content while I'm trying to navigate all of this. And I've been guilty myself, and I mean, I'm a marketer, so I definitely have no excuse. So it's good that you've been getting on top of it, because I do feel like it is so big right now. What do you see as the biggest opportunities for innovation in the beverage industry right now?
Yeah, so the beverage industry is booming right now. It's growing so fast, so many players in it, which competition is always going to be high in the beverage industry. I see the world going right now as functional beverages. So that's your vitamin drinks, your pre-probiotics, caffeine. And another huge one right now is protein. So I think with our generation, we're all trying to get protein, the 50 grams a day of protein, which they used to say no longer really applies. And to eat 14 steaks a day is not really going to do it for you. So I see a lot of drinks now coming out with high protein content. There was one that just launched at CHFA, which was a trade show I was just at, called V-Gain. They came out with the first, it's a juice-like, completely vegan, dairy-free RTD. And so I think the protein world is coming around pretty strong. I'm sure you've seen lots of places doing protein coffee now as well.
And are you interested in incorporating any of those functional elements into Peak?
Absolutely. I think that's the natural progression, just with the way the market's going, what consumers want. If I'm not catering to consumers, I won't have a business. And so, yeah, I think eventually we'll tap into that world, hopefully sooner than later. But with that stuff, there's a lot of regulatory requirements, especially when you're starting to add supplemented ingredients into your products. Hopefully in the near future, we'll have something in that realm.
I'm really excited to see what you come out with. I loved the Peak drink that I tried at an event with you. I can't remember. It was a really unique berry.
Hascap, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so good. Definitely recommend that one to anyone listening. And then speaking of ingredients, Peak sodas are 100% natural, handcrafted, and inspired by local British Columbia fruit. So I'm curious why it was important to you to stay committed to natural ingredients and local inspiration.
Yeah, honestly, it came out of kind of my own needs or own desires. I was the big pop drinker. I loved my carbonated drinks, but I found that half the ingredients you can understand. You didn't know what was in them. It was like reading a paragraph when you're reading the ingredient labels. And so when I started Peak, I knew I wanted to focus on just clean, simple ingredients, things that people could understand. One of my lines is, you probably have all these ingredients in your fridge at home. So cane sugar, carbonated water, and fruit juice. Super simple ingredients. You know what they are. There's no guessing. As far as the flavor development goes, partnering with local producers in the Okanagan was huge for me, especially seeing the cold frost that came here last year that wiped out all the wineries. It really kind of opens your eyes to how hard these farmers are working and what they're doing. And so I think supporting local farmers, sourcing local fruit has always been dear to me, especially working for all like independent companies that back in Prince George. So it's always been big to support local and support where I can. And a lot of times people will question me on that. They'll be like, why is your price so expensive? Because we retail for $4 a can. And honestly, a lot of that is from the juice itself. Like I could save costs by sourcing concentrates, extracts, but that's not what I believe in. That's not what I'm about. And so that'll never be happening.
That's good to hear, because honestly, I mean, the flavor is also completely different when you're using 100% real fruit versus all of these concentrates as well. But curious though, how do you balance staying true to those brand values and the realities of scaling a business?
Yeah, and so that's obviously a big challenge, especially with Hascaps. You get a pretty low juice yield per pound. Luckily, there's a lot of farms around here, but I've definitely had to make some pivots, especially growing from doing 12 cases a day by myself out of a garage to doing pallets. And so it was a little bit of a challenge, but I was able to find great local producers that are super transparent about their operations, that are willing to work with me, willing to make some changes in their production, such as adding some juicing processes in. Another one that's been kind of, I don't want to say limiting our growth, but a slow growth has just been keeping our SKUs tight. So we only have two products right now, a HazCap Lemonade, the Apple Rhubarb. And being able to do that, I'm able to kind of focus on those farmer relationships and make sure I can get produce for those SKUs. Compared to if I had seven different products, it might be a little more challenging.
So tell me a little bit about what is next for Peak and for you personally.
Yeah, so what's next for Peak? We're obviously exploring new flavor combinations, exploring maybe entering that functional beverage space as we talked about earlier, and deepening our farm partnership connections. So partnering with more local growers, more local producers. And personally, I'm honestly, I'm really passionate about mentoring young founders, contributing to the BC food and beverage scene. So I've tried to put myself out there, tried to support other people that are starting their food and beverage journeys. Obviously, I'm still young and I'm only 22. So fresh to the industry, but anything I can pass along, I've loved. And it's great to see what other young entrepreneurs are doing.
I love that. Have you come across any interesting new food and beverage brands popping up or founders that you've connected with?
Yeah, so there's so many out there. One that was more of a friendship than a mentorship was Oh Me. So they're a freeze-dried fruit and yogurt crunch company based in the Lower Mainland. Jenny and Han over there, super great couple. And they're doing a really cool product and have a really cool story how they originally started doing it as oatmeal toppings. It was called Oat Me originally, and then they kind of pivoted it to fit in the market better as Omi. Super great team, super great meeting them. As well as one of my contract sales guys on the island, Brendan from Repso. He's another young entrepreneur. He was previously in the food and beverage manufacturing and distribution world and is now his own sales agent. So he works for himself, has a great little family, but he's out there kicking the dirt, doing amazing out on the island. He had a story the other day about how he went into a store and one of the buyers for the store said that they had no shelf space. So Brendan challenged him on it and said, are you saying that or are you actually out of shelf space? So they went for a walk to the aisle and the buyer was like, look, we have no shelf space. And so Brendan said, okay, if I buy all of this one product, then you'll have shelf space. And the buyer kind of froze and was like, I guess so. So Brendan bought out all of that product and replaced it with one of his other brands. So he's a real go-getter. And so it's super inspiring to see other people like that out in the food and beverage world.
Well, I love that story. I love hearing outside of the box approaches to things, because I think especially now with more automation of communication, people are thinking outside of the box less and less. And you know, it's these redundant messages. I'm sure you get them in your inbox of people trying to sell you things and everything sounds the same. So whenever I hear of someone taking a really out there approach to getting things done, it really sticks. Looking back, what's one mindset shift that has made the biggest difference in how you approach building your business?
Yeah, there's been so many mindset shifts, but I think the biggest one was more recently, but just not waiting for permission. So going into a new journey as a new entrepreneur, it's kind of scary, especially as a solo founder. I'm not too sure what I'm doing sometimes, and a lot of times I'll wait for permission, I'll wait to have reassurance. But the second you realize that no one's coming to pick you and you have to build the path yourself, it changes everything. Just kind of taking the risks, diving down that hole, reaching out. I found reaching out on LinkedIn has been huge for just connecting with advisors or people in that world that might ask some questions for you or answer some questions for you. But yeah, not waiting for permission, just doing it, getting out there, building a product, building a brand.
Definitely, I agree. And I do think that can be a challenging shift in shifting into entrepreneurship from either being in school or being an employee for someone else's business, is just taking initiative. I feel like because you've been used to asking for permission, waiting for the steps to be written out for you, it can be hard to shift your mindset into like, I'm the only one steering this ship. And if I don't just get it done, it's not getting done. So yeah, I definitely agree there. I think that's a big shift when starting businesses. And getting into some little quick fire questions here. What's one book or podcast that has changed your mindset?
Yeah, so I personally hate books. I don't have the capacity to read books. But one book that was recommended to me was called Ramping Your Brand. It's How to Ride This Killer CPG Curve. Great book. Really kind of is good for anyone out there starting a food or beverage brand or any consumer package good. And podcast, Peter Chapman's Recipes for Success. Peter was formerly a buyer for Loblaws, and now he's a motivational speaker, puts on some workshops, and he has a really good podcast where he chats with young entrepreneurs, people in that grocery world, and obviously your podcast.
Cool. Love to hear that. Tell me about the best advice you've ever received.
Yeah. So both these came out of LOI, actually. Two quotes I really like. One was from executive director, Rob Ironside. He said, trust but verify. So it's okay to trust your team. It's okay to trust that things are in the works. but it's also okay to verify it. A lot of times I think founders have trouble with this because you don't want to undermine anybody. You don't want anyone to feel like you don't trust them. But as a business owner, you need to make sure things are getting done. And even if you trust your team, it's okay to verify it and make sure that's getting done properly or efficiently. And another one was from Jack from Poultry Patrol. He has a super cool company. They're turkey patrolling robots. And what he said was one phone call is worth a week of emails. And I've heard nothing more true. The amount of times I'm trying to figure out an issue and you can go back and forth with emails for a week or pick up a phone call and get it dealt within 5 minutes has been great.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that going back to the trust, but also verify, I feel like it even goes beyond your team. For me, I know that when it came to bringing on mentors and advisors early on, I felt like this is someone that is highly experienced. I'm bringing them on for specifically their advice. So I wouldn't really take it with a grain of salt. I would just take it on and implement it right away. But I think it's important to have the trust but verify mindset, even extending beyond your team and into those types of relationships as well.
No, absolutely. And especially with bringing on advisors and mentors, a lot of people just want to be part of something and might not necessarily have the industry backing for that. So it's always good to make sure that their resume aligns with what they've actually done.
Definitely. And what is your favorite Peak flavor and the story behind it?
Yeah, so my favorite Peak flavor would be the HazCap lemonade. HazCap is a berry that kind of looks like a long blueberry, super high in antioxidants. It's about 3 times the antioxidants of blueberries. There's a whole school in Saskatchewan that researches them and then farms all over across Canada. And so what kind of got me into it was there was an ice cream I tried one time that was a HazCap ice cream, and it was something like I've never had before. It was super cool. Everyone was buying it. And so when I first started Peak, I was like, I want to do something with this cool berry. And I think in the last few years, it's kind of become more known. You're starting to see more HazCap companies show up, HazCap products, which is awesome. So that's my favorite flavor.
Yeah, and kind of a full circle moment from the childhood lemonade stands too.
No, absolutely. I was recently in BC Businesses 30 Under 30, and one of the write-ups was from lemonade stand to basically doing the same thing, and it couldn't be more true.
It's hilarious, and congratulations on 30 Under 30. That's amazing.
Thank you.
And what is one completely unexpected passion or interest you've developed since starting your entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, so scrolling on LinkedIn would be a passion. I love seeing what other entrepreneurs are doing, and travel. So the thing with being an entrepreneur is there's so many trade shows for your industry. So what I love doing is being able to travel to Montreal or places that have those big trade shows, and just taking a little bit extra time for yourself after the trade show, being able to explore what Canada has to offer. I don't know how unexpected those are, but it's always a good way to decompress after busy work seasons. For me, I always try to book a trip usually in September after the summer rush, just to kind of regain my sanity.
Yeah, definitely. And I think also having those moments for continued learning through things like trade shows is so important and can be overlooked when you have so many things on your plate as an early stage founder too.
No, absolutely. And like I said, so many people are doing so many cool things all across Canada that it's always great to see what innovations entrepreneurs are coming out with and what the next big thing might be.
For sure. And so where can people find your growing personal brand and all things Peak?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at Andrew_Warburton. LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook. And for Peak, Drink Peak BC on Instagram, Facebook, or our website, www.drinkpeak.ca. And they can purchase online with a promo code of TAKEON.
Amazing. Well, thanks for joining me today, Andrew.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, Jasmine.